Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the We Have Spoken podcast. I am Chuck Pete here with the Grim, Mike Grimion. What's up, man?
Very happy to be here, as usual.
As usual. Season 7 of the podcast covering Moon Knight on Disney Plus. And after last week's big, huge twist at the end of the episode, we both sat here wondering what in the hell was going to happen with the next episode.
Correct. Correct.
And a lot.
Yeah. So before we get into the episode, let's do a little housekeeping.
Sure.
I want to apologize to the listeners for last week. There apparently was a horse in the recording studio. An angry horse was breathing very heavily into my microphone. And I apologize for that. All I could hear was that horse when I listened to the show. Please don't go back and listen to the angry horse in my microphone.
Yeah, I can't control your breathing over there.
Dude, I was
on. I can't do anything about that.
That studio and that mic, it's so hot, and I was just right on top of it because it doesn't have a screen, and I don't have the sitting distance is weird and everything. So I was like right on top of it, and I was breathing like that. And I was all getting upset, and you were interrupting me, and I was just getting more and more aggravated. And it sounded like I was like breathing heavy, like mad at you, like, I can't wait to tell you something.
I can't wait to talk about things.
But that was that thing.
So for those who don't know, we record the podcast here at the Guarantee Media location on Government Street. Guarantee Media is where I work. And we record the shows in the Talk 107.3 radio station, where the show airs every Saturday at 6 p.m. for the podcast block. The last few weeks, we've been unable to use the studio because we have other people here that do shows as well and podcasts. So we were in the 100.7, the Tiger station. It's an older board. Mics are a little bit more temperamental, so that's probably the reason why.
No, I just thought, like, I was listening to it because I always listen because I'm vain, and I was listening and I was like, oh my god, I was right on that microphone. all I could hear is my nose and every time I open my mouth or something, I was like, I hate it.
It happens to me sometimes.
Hate it.
We'll be doing the radio show or something, and I'll just don't pull back from the mic, and I'll just start breathing. I'm like, what am I doing?
Mine was even worse. I don't know.
He's like Darth Vader over there.
We don't want to obsess over this too much more. But
no.
So last week's episode, we had a lot of questions. I thought we had some answers at the end, and apparently we don't. We have more questions.
No, I got not yelled at, but I got told by my friend Jeremy Brown, who with Rally Cat Brewing, that we didn't answer any of his questions. Like, he just we talked about his questions, but we didn't really answer. And I feel like maybe we didn't, because we didn't know what the hell was going on.
But if there's no way for us to answer a question, then that's, you're just asking if you know we don't know, or maybe you don't know we don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Do you know?
I do not know.
I don't know.
So today's episode, because we record this on Wednesday, episode 5, Asylum, continues basically where episode 4 left off with Mark and Steven and Merowit. Where? How do you say the hippo goddess? The hippo goddess. I keep saying her name wrong. In the asylum. This episode reminded me a lot of Legion. Remember the show Legion on FX?
Yeah.
it felt like an episode of Legion, just because you didn't know what in the, like, you didn't
what's
know
real.
What was real, what was
I
in his head.
I still don't know what's real.
If he's dead.
I still don't know what's real.
No, at all. Like, I'm and, still confused.
As far as this episode goes, we finally get Mark's backstory. We start to learn, maybe, I don't know, maybe all of this is fake, but we start to learn whatever this fake memories, I don't, it's so hard to discuss it in like a concrete term because I don't know which part of any of this is real.
Yeah.
Right? If we are to assume that the part that is working for Khonshu and is actually Moon Knight is the real thing, then the real memories of Mark, we see what happened to him as a child, very tragic situation with his brother. And then his mother, you know, not being able to get over it and obsessing, and obviously falls into depression. She's got, looks like drinking issues or just struggling herself and taking it out on a young Mark. And then we see this just heartbreaking moment where she's beating on the door. I'm skipping to the point.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
She's beating on the door of his room, and he has this, you know, little flicker in his eyes, and then boom, and there's Steven. And he created Steven, and that is what one of the things that they did discuss, or he discusses, is the reason that Steven was there is so that he could still see his mother in a positive way, and he was insulated from pain and torment and sadness.
His
and
mother blaming him for the death of his little brother, and
right, all of that stuff. Steven is meant to be saved from that, and that's why Mark is so protective of Steven. It's him. It's all him.
Yes. Yeah.
But he, you know, we get to see like, yeah, Steven was a byproduct of, you know,
just
torment.
Just physical and emotional abuse from his mother after his brother's death.
The trauma.
Yeah. It's very traumatic, and how he was trying to keep Steven from seeing all that because he knew once he realized that Steven was going to find out he wasn't the real person. Steven always thought Mark was something that was like manifested in his brain, but it turned out it was the other way around.
All things are to be assumed correct.
Yeah, and they changed up that story from the comic. In the comic, it was his father who died, and he had to deal with those issues with his mother and stuff. They switched it to make it his little brother died. But man, it was just such a heartbreaking story. And like when Steven comes out and he's in Harrow's office, and Harrow's like, you know, I didn't know if I'd ever get to talk to you again, because Mark had buried him so deep, I guess, in his subconscious to where the doctor couldn't talk to him.
But again, we're assuming some sort of reality of this doctor's office. But I think if we're to assume that he is dead or dying or, you know, on the way to the afterlife,
right,
this boat or this experience that he's dealing with is meant to help him balance his scales. So in order to bounce between the, you know, his consciousness and his subconscious and to deal with the difficult things and sort of, I guess, rationalize the issues that are going on with Harrow and everything else and where his thoughts are, he's creating this, like she even says, she's like, I've never seen anybody do a mental institution, but
right,
you know, every
power witch, but that's her name,
God, people, you know, humans can't comprehend what's going on, and the only way they can is they create a place in their mind that can handle or process, and I think that's what it is. I don't think that, now that I kind of really, really think about it, I don't think that he's bouncing between a reality or anything. It is all him coming to grips with the things that split his consciousness and that have tormented him and have him out of balance.
This episode hit me in a different way. Like, we're just watching this episode and dealing with Mark's backstory and the trauma and all that, it was just like they may have handled this better than even Legion did, and I loved Legion and how they handled all that. All the stuff with Tyrett on the boat going through the sands and all that stuff and trying, like you said, trying to balance the scales and everything. Steven getting pulled off the boat and Mark's yelling for him. He crystallizes in the sand. And you're just like, then the scales balance and then Mark's left in the field of reeds just kind of like standing there and how the show just ends and you're just like, what the... You know,
yeah,
I can't say the word. No,
can't say that word, but no. Everybody knows that word.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like it felt like the ending of Infinity War, where it, like how that ended after Thanos did the snap, and he's just sitting on his porch, and he's kind of like he has that little small smile on his face because he achieved what he wanted to do, and how the movie just ends, and you're sitting there going, what do I do now?
Yeah, what now? What?
Yeah, that's how I felt watching this episode.
Yeah, well, I think that was the point. I think this episode did a couple things. We finally get some backstory. We see how Moon Knight came about. We see how Mark and Khonshu created their union, I guess, their team up,
Team
Supreme. But we don't see one thing that I kept waiting for, and it was the third personality.
Right. They never went back to the room with the other casket in it to figure out who that is. Now, we do have a question that was posted on a post that we'll get to when we get to the question.
We have that, and we've got a message on Facebook, and we have a couple of emails. So
yeah.
I was talking with a guy that I don't want to divert too far, but when she pulled a heart out of each of them,
right?
Dude. But then they were together on the scale. I was like, wait a second, how is this possible? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about a theory that one of my friends that I work with, Brian. And he and his roommate, I think it was Devin is his name, were discussing why he could see Mark, why Mark and Steven could see each other. And he was like, what if it's two souls in one body? And that's why there is so much chaos, there is so much imbalance, but also why both of them are manifest.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In this space.
Right.
Which I was like, whoa. That's crazy thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't wait to go home and rewatch this episode tonight because I know there's a lot of stuff I may have missed. And I've got a list of Easter eggs that we'll talk about in a little bit that... There's since episode one, they've foreshadowed this episode. There's so many hints laid out.
So many things.
It's unreal.
One last thing that this was another theory that they were talking with me about. So we've assumed this third personality based on only one thing,
mm-hmm.
and that is that they woke up killing some people
right.
and don't remember any of it. Neither one of them.
Right.
Okay. What if the third personality is Scotty?
The brother?
No.
Scotty, the...
Okay. The guy at the security desk calls him Scotty.
Oh, yes.
The girl that he had a date with. Mark didn't make that date. Mark wouldn't make that date. Who made that date with the girl in the first episode? Okay. Who made that date? Why is the guy continually calling him Scotty? Not because we're meant to assume it's because he's just a forgettable person. But if you look, he looks at him like, why do you keep saying Steven? You know, like, Scotty, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Yeah. He's sort of like surprised. I'm thinking that this third personality might be this Scotty. And that was that, again, Brian and his roommate came up with that. And that I thought was a really cool concept. And that's what I kept waiting for. I kept waiting for that third person to show up. And we were going to see the balance based on that third person. But now we see balance based on the elimination of one.
Yes.
Which makes me think that the sarcophagus that was banging and making all that noise wasn't another personality. It was the memory of his mother banging on his door. And that's when he split.
Oh.
And that was why he said, you don't want to open that. You don't want to open that. You don't want to open that. Right? We assumed it was because he felt somehow that it was the most dangerous and deadly of the three of them. But no. I really think now, just thinking about it, that it was the memory of his mom.
Okay.
Banging on the door.
All right. I like that. That you might be onto something there.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
Because the way that the thing was rocking and the tempo of it, I'd have to go back and really and watch. But when she's slamming on that door, it is very similar to the way that sarcophagus is being hit.
Okay. So let's get to a lot of these Easter eggs, because a lot of these pertain to the story and just shows you how much foreshadowing they've been doing in the series that we overlooked a few of these.
As we do.
So one thing that they talk about in this episode, they mention that Mark is in the Putnam Medical Facility. That's taken from the Jeff Lemire Moon Knight run. It's the Putnam Psychiatric Hospital. A lot of this asylum stuff is based off that line. Tarouet refers to when she's talking about different afterlives. Like she said, like, I've never seen an insane asylum before. She specifically mentions
Wakanda,
the ancestral afterlife.
Right.
I caught that. I was like, ooh, that's a Black Panther reference.
I was like, that Black Panther reference. I like that.
I know what that is.
Yeah, I know what that is.
This one hit me as soon as I read it. Tarouet's boat was foreshadowed in the first episode. It was the boat in the fish tank.
Oh.
As soon as I read that, I was like, oh, that's right. And I went and looked at a screenshot, and it's the same boat.
You know what else is foreshadowed in the first episode? Pyramids.
Yep.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Also foreshadowed, if you notice this, when they do the flashback showing Mark and his little brother, the first shot you see of his little brother, he's drawing a goldfish on a piece of paper, and the goldfish has one little tiny fin like the one that was swimming in his aquarium.
So maybe everything is just as... If they Saint Elsewhere us at the end of this, I'm going to be kind of upset.
Yeah. Another thing about Mark's brother, in the comics, Mark's brother doesn't die. He ends up becoming one of his greatest villains called Shadow Knight. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen because...
We don't know.
This one is... Well, who knows? His brother's dead, apparently.
I guess.
He also mentions Bushman, who was the leader of the group that went to go kill all the archaeologists and kill Layla's dad. Bushman is a big villain from Moon Knight in the comics.
Yeah, big time villain in MCU as well.
I don't know if that's
I mean Marvel Comics.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to foreshadow anything, if he's going to pop up in this last episode or not. Also, one thing I did spot in the episode that's on this list as well, when Mark is in his room and his mom is beating on the door, if you notice when you're looking around his room, he has a set of scales on a nightstand by his bed.
Yeah. Well, I think the scales show up in all of the memories.
Yes.
Kind of as a reminder, like you're trying to balance yourself or whatever. I do see them repeatedly, but it is like a little small kid's set of scales, not the two hearts on a thing.
Right. But yeah, a lot of this show is about balance, and you're seeing that now, especially when they did the whole thing with the scales and while they're on the boat with Terrorot. The whole flashback scene of Mark becoming Moon Knight is pretty much like
dead from the
like frame comic. For frame from the comics. Yeah. I mean, they nailed that perfectly. They did a really good job on that. There were a few others. The way that Mark creates Steven as a coping mechanism still is just like, I don't know, man. It's
sad, man.
It's sad. It's
really sad. I found myself really connecting with the emotion of this episode.
And this it was only 48 minutes, I think, but God, it felt like it was an hour and a half.
It really did. They really packed a lot. And speaking of packed a lot, this last episode is going to apparently have everything in it. I don't know how much they're going to be able to resolve.
I mean, it has to. There's a lot of
we didn't even touch on the fact that while they're on the boat in the sand, there's souls dropping in that are unbalanced and
right.
And she's like, well, this is crazy.
This shouldn't be happening.
Well, obviously what that means is Ahmet's running loose.
Right. Harrow has freed her.
Which means that maybe Layla's dead.
Oh, yeah, because we don't know what happened to her right now.
Because she had the statue.
On. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Apparently Mark's dead. I don't like.
Everybody dead.
Everybody's dead.
Santa play it dead.
I want to play it dead. Sing a lady dead. Yeah, next week's episode is going to be crazy. It has to. There's so much they have to put into an hour, I'm assuming, unless it's going to go a little bit longer. I don't know. But they've got a lot of stuff to answer.
There's a lot. I mean,
if this is a one and done series, they've got a lot to close up because they just open up even more questions after episode 4 with this new episode.
It was a good episode.
Oh, it was.
It was. It was a very
best one out of the series.
It was
so far.
It was a very good episode and it was really well done, and the acting in it is Oscar Isaacs is blowing
my
brains out.
He's so good in this show.
He is so good. And the moment where, obviously it's not him and him, but where Steven tells him, like, it wasn't your, you were a kid. It's not your fault.
And he starts beating himself in the head and stuff.
But I'm talking about on the street after.
Oh, on the street. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's like, it was not your fault. You are not responsible. This, you know, this was an accident. You were a child.
Yeah.
This is himself finally forgiving himself.
Right.
Right. And then we also have the Steven realizing that his mother is dead and acceptance moment. So we're getting a lot, like they said, the balance. We're getting a lot of closure on a lot of small things.
Right.
Well, I say they're small. They're not small for the mental health of Mark Spector. I mean, that it, in this plot line that we're trying to figure out, those are the things that helped him balance. I still don't understand why he only balanced once Steven was gone. Maybe it's because there was too much of a, you know, maybe one soul too many. I don't know.
Yeah, because she pulled out two hearts.
Right, you know? And she's like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And it's like one is not, it's not completely full or something, like it wasn't complete.
Well, neither one were completely full.
Right.
So like.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So
they were just split.
Each one was missing pieces.
Yeah.
And maybe the point is now that Mark has come to grips with some of these things, it's sad that Steven is lost to the sands.
Yeah.
But he is aware of all of the things now. You know what I mean? Like he's able to cope a little bit, you know, through this, and that's why he is able to be balanced at the end and go to the Field of Reeds Yeah. Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
If you build it, they will be bored.
Yeah. Because
that looks boring.
Yeah, there's nothing out there. There's nothing to do. Field.
Just walk around in the field forever. I mean, like that. I mean, like, I would like that for a little while, but not forever.
5 minutes is like, where's the McDonald's?
Hey, is there a couch around here in field of reeds? Can I go to the field of couches, please?
Yeah. Where's the field of bars? Can I go to there and have a drink, please?
I need the field of unlimited internet and
where's the field of Netflix at? So do we have some emails?
We absolutely have some emails.
Okay, great. We've got one comment on a post I did earlier, so we'll do that after let's do the emails first.
Okay. Coming in hot this morning, very early. I had to not read it when it first came in at 5:37 this morning.
Jeez, who did that?
Our boy from down under.
Oh,
Josh.
Well, I mean, it
comes in. Comes in with a bullet, number one with a bullet.
It's probably like, 5 in the afternoon over there for him.
I mean, I don't think so, but I don't know. I don't think it was that far, but doesn't matter.
I'm about to look that up.
Josh is like, Oscar, he gives his props to Oscar Isaac, obviously. Amazed at how you can tell it's Stephen or Mark just by body language. This guy is a great actor. I'm really seeing his range in this show. Just in case you didn't get the cricket reference, a six is equivalent to a home run in baseball. Remember when Steven came up with the bat and hit both same creatures, and then he said six? I didn't know what that meant. So thank you very much, Josh, for the info. He home runned, but it was cricket.
So it's, at the time he sent that, it was 7 p.m. over there.
Oh, wow. So it was late.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So see, there you go.
All right, Josh.
He's on the other side of the world.
Josh.
He's in the future.
Josh, what's the Powerball number?
What's the Powerball?
Okay. So apart from the acting performances, I'm not really enjoying this series. A bit too weird for my liking.
Well, okay.
And some of the decision-making is baffling. That's what he says.
Okay.
I found myself nodding along with Mike's rant last week. Good. I knew somebody had a rant out there. Josh, thank you, bro. Appreciate you,
good
bro.
Good job, Josh. Now you just made that head just a little bit.
Yeah, baby. I got people that believe in me.
Believe.
One thing I didn't get was how quickly Khonshu made the decision to mess with the stars knowing he'd get imprisoned in stone. Were there no other options? I agree. Why? I didn't even think about that.
He says, I don't think there was, though.
For one, he says he remembers every night. Couldn't he just look at the map and tell him where it is? It was like, I remember
that was tonight. Thursday at about 9:30.
The thing was right there, and it done.
Yeah. Jupiter was here and did this.
So watching the scales out of balance this episode, I figured it was because there was a third personality to be discovered. But then it balanced at the end of the episode. I'm sure they already established there was a third personality, which we thought for sure there was. And there might still be. But we haven't seen it.
Maybe because it hasn't manifested for Mark to know.
Maybe it's just like pure rage right now.
Could be.
Just rage monster.
Rage monster.
His name is Rage. So thank you, Josh, for the email.
And yeah.
Thank you for agreeing with me and thinking that I am smart. I know he didn't say that part. He said he nodded along. But I'm just saying.
I think you
nod your head to this. And you'd be like. You'd be like, hey, that guy, he knows some things and stuff. some stuff. All right. Next email. Patrick.
Of course.
I mean.
Yeah, Patrick's on
Patrick,
it.
Patrick's on it. Bro.
Yeah.
Patrick come in at 5:30 this afternoon. So now we got a 12-hour gap between the two lead contributors. They're in a fight. It's a race to the death. So Patrick's a little bit more hyped about the episode. Steven has his own soul. Question. He says, so Steven has his own. See, the people that listen to this show know what's happening, bro. They'd be like.
Of course they do.
Of course they do.
That's why
they listen.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, they listen and they nod their head and they're going, yeah, I thought of that already, dummies. Get on to the next thing. he says, I could have the longest conversation about this episode. Same.
Oh, same. Absolutely. 100%.
Same. Even when this is over, I'm sure we're going to have plenty of things that we didn't cover.
Yeah.
I did not see the story of how the personalities came to be playing out in such a heartbreaking fashion through childhood trauma. Boys being boys, but with space to blame himself, however unfairly. And man, you hit it on the head right there. It's kids playing, and they're playing their favorite game. And they're it's two brothers, man.
Yeah.
Two brothers, and they're hanging out. And they're playing together, and they're having fun, and something tragic happens, and nobody meant for that to happen.
No.
And he blames himself because he was the big brother, and that's what the big brother does.
And the mother doesn't help by also putting the blame on him.
I loved the A.N. afterlife part. Oh, A.N. afterlife. I read that wrong. Then A.N. afterlife.
Gotcha.
So the so many planes of untethered consciousness I thought was also very cool. Because I've always said, like, man, you can't have all these people having all these different faiths and there's just one heaven.
Right. No.
You know what I mean?
No, that makes sense.
I don't believe in it anyways, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Don't hate me because I don't believe in it.
He hates everything.
I was happy they mentioned the ancestral plane.
Yes.
It immediately made me think of Chadwick Boseman. I just thought it was a nice nod and a way to remind people, oh, yeah, this is the Marvel Universe.
Right. I mean, they haven't really had many connections to any previous Marvel stuff. This might have been the first time they've said something that connects to the MCU.
Steven also was wondering about the imbalance of Steven, or Steven rectifying the imbalance.
I mean, Patrick was wondering.
What did I say?
You said Steven was
wondering. I'm sorry. I said Patrick. I meant to say Patrick. I apologize.
I knew what you were saying.
I apologize, Steven Patrick.
Yeah.
I don't think we needed to bounce back to Dream Harrow or whatever as much as we did, but I guess it served a purpose. And I'm thinking more and more, because as I was watching it, I was partially frustrated, like, come on, man, like, stop playing these games. But then the more I thought about it, it's really just, and it's just an attempt for his mind to put these things in order.
Right.
And he doesn't know how to do it. So he's figuring it out through these things, these props, basically. I remember how previously, Graham, you had the theory it was like a journal with him to call his mom, and I was wrong about why, but
you were, I mean, you were in the ballpark.
Sort of in the ballpark. I did think it was set up by Mark for a reason. Yeah. I did not think it was for that reason.
No.
Mark just wanted Steven to have a life with a mother who didn't hate him in his mind. So it's again just a sad, God, this thing was sad. It was a great episode, but sad, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it again tonight and make myself feel terrible. Just be depressed.
Yeah. This episode validates why this is a series and not just a movie, because look at the depth that we get to see,
right?
In this, just based on the fact that we have so much more space. And that's what I love about the series.
Yeah, there's certain characters when you're diving deep into someone like this that has these mental issues and these dual personalities. That's not something you'd need like a 4-hour movie to like really dive in to understand that situation. Fleshing all that storyline out in 6 episodes really helps.
Changes everything. And I'm going to wrap this up from Patrick with a really nice little addendum here. He says, I'm interested in the concept of the balanced scales. I think people confuse that with being some kind of upper tier, elite level good person. But obviously we know it just means what it says, balanced.
Yeah.
No one is perfect. Good is relative. Mistakes will be made and regrets will be had. So be kinder to yourself, everyone.
Yeah.
What a fantastic closing on a seriously emotional episode. And,
yes.
And that is a very great takeaway and a very positive takeaway. Thank you very much for the email, Patrick.
Yep. Thank you, Patrick. As always, chiming in with good stuff.
Very much so. And our last thing, and I'm going to try not to do this all wonky.
Too late.
Yep. Too late. I am not smooth.
What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. In our Facebook Messenger.
That's what I have right here.
Oh, that was
I was ready.
What you're going to read?
Yes, that's what I was going to read.
Okay, good. Yeah. You go ahead and read this one and get her name right this time.
I was just going to say Teresa. Getz.
Getz.
I know it's Getz. I told her I was going to make a a rebuttal on my previous statement.
Teresa gets revenge.
Teresa gets it back. Before I get to her questions and comments, she did send something to us a while back on the our We Have Spoken podcast Facebook page, which if you haven't liked that, please go and do that. It was a Comcast guide description of Star Wars A New Hope. And it said, robots and other allies help a youth space jockey rescue a rebel princess and battle dark forces bent on intergalactic rule.
I think that's very accurate and succinct.
Yes, that's an accurate description. But Teresa goes on, she says, latest Moon Knight episode. It was the asylum. No, wait. It was the afterlife. No, wait. Wherever they are. She says, one, what a tragic backstory from Mark. Heartbreaking. Absolutely. 100%. A very heartbreaking and emotional backstory from Mark. Two, and I like this theory, the third sarcophagus wasn't open. I am still thinking that there is a third personality, and he killed the group of explorers. That is why Mark was trying to kill himself.
But why would he shoot himself?
Because he knew that other personality.
No. I don't mean shoot himself in the head. I mean shoot himself in the body.
He was shooting himself in the
face. He was already injured.
Yeah.
Right? So he had already been shot. Correct?
Correct.
So either some other mercenary there or someone.
Was either Bushman going to come back?
Shot him.
Yeah. And left him for dead.
And left him for dead and shot everybody else. Or he was, this third personality was attacking and killing, and somebody fought back and shot him. And when it was over with, Mark flipped back to himself.
And maybe realized the only way to stop that dark personality from coming back out was to kill himself.
I don't know if it was that or if it was just the fact that he was dying and he was in pain and he didn't want to suffer.
Maybe so. Third, she says, is Steven really gone? He might be, since through all of Mark's realizations, another personality is no longer needed to cope with his pain.
That's what I just said.
I know.
Teresa, I'm telling you, our people know what's up.
They know. I think he's gone. I don't know. Unless all this is, like you said, a Saint Elsewhere snow globe situation, or season of Dallas where Patrick Duffy didn't die and he's in the shower.
Patrick Duffy leg.
And her last one on here is, will Mark be able to leave wherever he is without killing the hippo?
Don't kill the hippo.
I don't think he has to kill the hippo now that he's in the field of reeds. Like, that was the plan, to kill her on the boat and take the boat and try to get out of wherever they are, the afterlife or whatever.
Right.
She says, one more episode to go. Hope they can wrap up everything and not leave us hanging with more questions. Looking forward to our thoughts. They have to. They have to wrap everything up. I don't know how they're going to do it.
What if the whole final episode was him just walking around in the reeds?
50 minutes of him just walking around.
Yes. And then like it panned back and he'd been slowly making a giant corn maze or something in the reeds, and it was a moon.
I would break my TV.
Everyone would be so mad. I think I would be exceptionally upset for a little while, and then I would laugh about it and how dumb it was.
I'd laugh and laugh and laugh.
Laugh until I cried.
I don't know if you watched the credits when it ended.
Yeah.
But
I was hoping.
Did you?
I was hoping for a mid-credit.
Well, there was something going on. If you paid attention in the credits, every time it switched to a different person, like directed by, written by, they were showing different faces of the moon until it became a full moon.
Okay, and?
I'm just saying. It was mentioned as an Easter egg.
I mean, it's the Moon Knight.
It is Moon Knight.
And he's always strongest when it's a full moon.
But they've never done that before. Just this episode is the first time they've done it, where they showed the moon from like a crescent moon to like a half moon, a quarter moon, like all that stuff, until it was a full moon.
I don't know.
Could be something.
I don't know. It could be something. It could very well be something. I don't know why you don't do that. Well, I mean, for you know, it's a hint at the end to something that might come. So, before we, I don't know how much time we have left.
I mean, we're good. We can discuss a few other things, not Moon Knight related, if you'd like.
No. I want to go into what What do we predict for this final episode?
Oh, I have no idea. I can't even wrap my brain around what could possibly happen.
Let's just start with one topic. Okay. How does Mark get out of the afterlife and back to the back to being alive, maybe, perhaps?
I feel like he can't do it without Steven. I feel like there's got to be some way for him to get out into the desert and bring Steven back. He's going to need that other personality to help him. I don't think he can do it alone.
Okay.
I don't know any other way he could, unless he releases the other personality that's in the sarcophagus, whoever that is.
But he's not in the boat anymore. He's in the field of reeds.
He's in the reeds.
He's deep in the reeds. Okay, I was thinking about this, and I think that Layla is... We're going to open the next episode, I think. This is just me guessing, purely. Okay. Layla, with the statue of Ahmet, basically using it as a bargaining chip to get the statue of Khonshu, to free Khonshu, right?
Okay.
Khonshu can go to... He's a god. I mean, I would assume he could go to the land of the reeds and bring him back.
Maybe. Or if she does that, it explains why those souls were dropping.
Right.
But also, the reason Mark was trying to do all this stuff was to protect Layla from being his next avatar. So if she gets that back and she brings back Khonshu, could also make her the new Moon Knight. And maybe he brings...
That would be a hell of a twist for the end. Mark's dead.
Yeah.
And now here's Layla, and she's Moon Knight.
But she's somehow able to go into the field of dreams him back.
But what if they don't? What if they just allow him his peace?
And then she becomes
Moon Knight. That would blow my brains, dude.
That was the whole thing. He was trying to protect her from being the next avatar.
I understand I understand that. But I mean, like... Khonshu doesn't care who's the avatar, I think.
No.
I think he just wants an avatar.
Yeah.
He wants to go mess stuff up.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's emotionally connected to Mark.
Happened. Yeah, he just happened to wander in that tomb when he was dying, and like, you know, whatever he said to him, I sense something in you, and like, I'm going to make you my new avatar, my fist, you know, you'll be the fist.
Well,
of
I think he could sense the turmoil in him.
Yes.
And the
struggle within.
Yes, but also the desire for justice. And when I say justice, I mean, he was just unfairly treated by his mother for something that was purely accidental. Maybe a part of him has been yearning for some sort of reckoning for that as well. That was one of the reasons why he made him such a good potential vessel or avatar.
Yeah, he's been a mercenary for all these years, killing all these people. You saw that when he walked into that one room, and it was like everyone he had killed. And
a lot of them, though, were when he killed him as Moon Knight, though.
Yes. Maybe it was mercenaries as well.
He said. He said these guys, Khonshu, wanted his vengeance, and these guys were the worst of the worst.
That's true. Yeah, he did say that.
That doesn't necessarily mean there weren't a few from before, but if he's not the person that killed everyone at that dig site, if that's not him and someone else did it, he was trying to accomplish the mission without killing a bunch of people. And the guy's like, I don't know, you know, no witnesses. No. And he's just like, we're not doing that. You know, we don't need to do that. And he was like, nope, everybody dies. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, he was a mercenary killing all these people, just, you know, being paid to be a mercenary and doing all these things. And at that site has a change of heart. It's like, we don't need to do this. And maybe Khonshu sensed that in, like, he had the potential for being a good person and could use him to take out the bad people.
Yeah.
You know?
Suitable. Very suitable, as he says, I think. So that is my theory on how, if Mark is going to get out, this is how. Layla uses the statue of Ahmet as a way to bargain to get the only thing she can think of that will get Mark back, and that would be Khonshu.
Do you think at that point, so like I said, if that happens, I think she becomes Moon Knight. But also I think that when that happens, then the other gods see that Khonshu was right this whole entire time, and they all band together to take out Amit and Harrow.
Or, and you mentioning that makes a lot of sense, maybe they capture her before she can get away. Harrow catches Layla.
Yeah.
Takes the statue, frees Amit. She starts running amok, and the other gods are like, oh, snap. Oh, we should probably do something about this. How about that guy that told us that this was going to happen? Let's get him out. Let's get him off the shelf.
Yeah.
That could be a way. And so instead of Layla actually going and trying to sort of bargain with the gods, which she would have no way to do or get to them.
Right.
It would make more sense that that Harrow got to the Amit statue or figurine and freed her, and she, once freed, started dropping bodies, and then the other gods were like, nope, no, we can't be having that. And then
the other gods go in that room with all the other ones they put in stone and realize we need all their help and break all those and release those gods, and they have like a big fight.
Well, I was wondering why the five of them wouldn't just join hands again and re-encase her in concrete or whatever.
They might not be strong enough.
But maybe they're not strong enough, or maybe something happens to one of them and they're not strong enough with the lack of that one. I'm just spitballing.
No, I like that.
I'm trying to think of ways that he gets brought back from the afterlife with that would make sense within the scope of the show.
Sure. I like that idea, though. I think that's good. My idea, my prediction is like somehow he gets to Steven and Steven helps get him out of the afterlife and comes back to the natural world. But we'll see. Like maybe you said, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he is dead. Layla may become the new avatar for Moon Knight, and then, that's how the series ends.
Or Mark is no longer fractured. He's whole, and he comes back to be the avatar again. But
or it's all a big illusion, and he's in a mental asylum.
Yeah, one of these things is going to happen.
Yeah. Send us your thoughts on this throughout the rest of the week leading up to the finale. Go to We Have Spoken Podcast on Facebook and send us your thoughts there, or email us at wehavespokenpod23@gmail.com. And we'll discuss all that next week for the finale. Trying to figure out, we should be able to podcast next Wednesday.
Okay.
It's May the 4th. Got a lot of stuff going on because it's May the 4th.
You're gonna be drunk as hell.
Yeah, we're doing Star Wars cocktails that day on the Jada Cody show.
Might have to go Thursday, folks.
Well, Thursday is Cinco de Mayo, and we're doing the show at Government Taco.
Oh, Lord.
And then I'm leaving directly from there to go see Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Well,
speaking of which, they just put like a new...
I don't want to see no more teasers.
No, I don't want to see any more either, but I just read about this. They put like a countdown, like 10 days until whatever... In one of the new spots, they finally acknowledged it, Mike. Mordo says, Doctor Strange, the Illuminati is ready for you. They've let it out. It's officially now. We all knew this. We all knew that it was going to be the Illuminati. It's official. They're saying it.
Well, I mean, one of the most recent trailers, you very, very obviously see all the X-Men symbols and stuff on the walls, and you see the spinning rims. They spinning.
Well, I mean, Patrick Stewart came out and said, yes, that's him.
Yeah. Okay.
Week from tomorrow.
So to end the Moon Knight speculation, what do you think happens to Harrow?
I don't know. He could die. He could escape. He could just be a doctor.
He can't run away, I tell you that much.
He gonna limp. He gonna pimp walk away with that cane.
He can't run with them glass shoes on.
No. Oh, God, if he does. I mean, he's walking around in it. Who knows?
I want him to take those things off.
He's either...
They got to come off, man.
He's either going to die, he's going to escape, or he's actually going to be a doctor in a mental facility. There's your choices. I mean, what else could it be?
What if...
Or he becomes... like?
what if he dies and becomes a doctor?
Well, obviously, what is probably going to happen, he's going to be the avatar if I'm it. He's going to be the avatar.
Yeah.
So then you got to deal with that.
Right. Yeah, because she wouldn't just be personally walking around.
No. The gods need avatars.
Dumb.
The gods need avatars. So he's going to be the avatar for Ahmet. So he's either going to die, get away, or be the doctor in a mental facility.
That's so stupid.
No, it's fine.
I didn't even think about that. I thought it was like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man kind of situation. Like she was just going to be stomping around.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be crazy. I mean, like, forgive me. I'm mixing my my genres here, but. No, I wasn't even thinking about him becoming the Avatar.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. There you go. Speaking of Avatar, Avatar 2 trailer before Doctor Strange.
I don't care either.
Blue cats.
Stupid blue cats.
Stupid blue cats. All right, we're getting out of here. We're done for today. Once again, We Have Spoken Podcast on Facebook. We Have Spoken Pod 23 at gmail.com. I was hoping we could do a Facebook Live for next week, but we're not going to be able to. It's going to be too insane. If we do it,
y'all going to see Drunk Charles is what you're going
to
see.
Yeah. It's going to be – that episode won't air on the radio. That'll just be like a Patreon exclusive or something.
Oh, yeah.
You got to pay for that one to see me being an idiot. But until, you know, we come back next week, we hope you enjoy. We appreciate all the comments and questions and everything.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank y'all so much.
Who's listening, who's sending in emails. I've got friends that, you know, I work with and other friends that are listening and appreciate all of y'all. Everybody that listens says the same thing, that our banter, our back and forth is very good, and we have a nice flow.
I mean, we've only known each other.
I've only known you for 30 years.
Yeah, we should definitely have some good banter.
Yeah,
but we do appreciate it. When me and Mike started doing this, we were just doing it for fun because we wanted to talk about it. We didn't know if anybody was going to care to listen or not. So it's.
Remember when people in Sri Lanka listened?
That's crazy.
I still don't know about that.
That's crazy.
That might be somebody just accidentally press a button.
I'm not going to do an accent.
Don't do it.
I'm not doing it. Okay, folks. So until next week, I am Chuck P. For the Grim Michael Grimmial, this is the We Have Spoken Podcast. And until next time, this is the way.